whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
They've heard no doubt about that. Not only that, you think about Jordan Poole, who's averaging a career high in a lot of categories this year. And I know he's not Clay. He's never going to be the defender that Clay is. But when you need a guy to break down the defense and get a bucket and have explosiveness, you don't have that right now.
Yes.
You don't have anybody. Like, even Dennis Schroeder, he's 32 years old. He's struggling.
He's not as fast.
Blown by guys at the point of attack. Jordan Poole could do that. And Jordan Poole could break down that defense and get everybody out there. So 888-957-9570.
We're going to talk about the Jordan Poole trade forever, huh?
9570. I'm going to be honest with you, Shasky.
I hated that trade the day it happened.
I went crazy. I saw a bunch of missed calls from Shasky. Saw a bunch of missed calls from somebody else.
You traded a 23-year-old who had a down year for a 40-year-old.
Well, let Andre Iguodala tell it. He had a down year, still averaged 20. So,
I felt similar to the fan base. And like at the end of that Lakers series, you couldn't roll back with him. I get it. But to me, that was the exact offseason where I'm like, oh, well, if you're going to move Poole, which is fine, okay? You want to move off Poole, fine. You also had to move off of Draymond. And then simultaneously, last year at the deadline, when you had the expiring contract of CP3, when you acquired that player, that was the time to deal him. Well, the time to deal him was at the deadline. And so you traded a 23-year-old asset that netted you nothing.
That's on the front office.
It was poor asset allocation.
That's on the front office. Here's the other deal, though. And you got your finances in order if you're to go to State Warriors. But the reason why I keep going back, and I was going to say this, that situation between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, things just haven't been the same since that moment.
No.
And it's okay to admit it. It's okay to admit it. They went 0-5 on an early road trip that year, and I thought, oh boy, how are we going to get through this season? And every time they would go on a little heater, I think they had multiple 5-game winning streaks, but nothing was sustainable that year. And so they did, like, it was miraculous that they advanced to the second round and got to play the LA Lakers. It was actually a miracle, considering what went on that season. How could it be kumbaya and have all this camaraderie when a situation like that happens? An organization, I wonder, they had an opportunity to go back and redo things in terms of suspensions or the way they handled the situation. I wonder if they do it differently. Because they said it was the biggest crisis in the organization that they were dealing with. And a lot was made about the leaked video. Well, you know, I don't know who leaked the video. We still don't know. And I just felt bad for Jordan Poole because it's like, damn, he got hit. And it flipped to where, oh, well, Jordan Poole was being arrogant. He was calling this guy, that guy, this guy, this guy. And it's just like, all right, here we go again. So I just, it hasn't been the same since that moment. It hasn't. It just hasn't. And here we are now with an 18-18 team that is getting older, that has a lot of specialists, that can't score in the half court, that can't score against a 2-3 zone. It is a struggle right now for the Golden State Warriors. And as Steph said, he doesn't have the answers. I don't have the answers. I don't know if you have the answers. The rebuild is getting closer and closer and closer to happening with this team and this organization. Or they're going to sit it out and wait till the summertime and try to land another big fish. But if Draymond, and I'm going to go back to Draymond Green here because I'm looking at his splits, and he got off to a great start from the three-point line. I was, wow, he's being aggressive. That aggressiveness has evaded him over the last week. It is. I know you're laughing, but I'm looking at the month of December, and this game is all about confidence, right? Confidence, confidence, confidence. As Steve Kerr said, a crisis of confidence. Draymond Green in the month of December played 9 games, started 7, shot 32.4% from 3. Now he's back down to 33, but he's not shooting it, and he's not being aggressive. There was a situation yesterday where he's at the rim. It just lay it up, go up, and he passes out to the 3-point line. So when we talk about the triple threat position and having your back turned to the basket, not even looking at the basket, That's not going to help this team right now with the way it's constructed. It's just not.
There'll be times when I'm scrimmaging with my eighth grade team, and I'll be playing with like a kid from the fifth or sixth grade on my side, and it's 5-on-5, and I'm actively going out of my way to not take over the game and get the little fifth grader the shot. When I watch Draymond on offense, it's like he is so hell-bent on not looking at the hoop. He has to do the shovel pass. And you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It's this like shovel pass auto screen. And people are like, oh.
Right.
Wow, Dre.
It's Ben Simmons-esque is what it is. And that's a problem. Like, even Ben Simmons at times will actually just go and just try to dunk it.
The other night, he won't.
Well, he used to.
Well, but I get your point. The other night,
come on. No, but that's where we're at offensively. He's getting compared to Ben Simmons.
And this is where I'm going to go Dr. Phil on you as I go guru. But, like, I felt the other night when Zach Edey and Draymond going at it, and then you followed up with the Kings thing, and then he said a screen that should have been a foul. Yep. And to see Steve Kerr go way over the top to defend Draymond Green, I said, oh my God, this guy's got him wrapped around his hand. I mean, Kerr is so worried about keeping Dre on point that we can't even be realistic. He fouled a guy with a ridiculous screen.
That was a terrible foul.
Why are you arguing it? Why are you getting teched up?
Yeah, it wasn't a flop.
What are you doing?
Well, it wasn't a flop. There was three possessions.
Dre fouled him.
There was three possessions where Keanu Ellis went in for a layup, and Dre fouled him hard. Fouled him hard. Prevent the layup. Fine. And then another possession, they called the moving screen on Draymond Green, on Keon Ellis, and Draymond Green tried to help up Keon Ellis, and Keon Ellis refused his hand. He said, nah, my teammates are coming. I'm good. And Malik Monk and Draymond had some words or whatnot. And then later on, that possession happened where Draymond just, wow, boom, somebody better call out a screen, but got hit, and Steve Kerr went crazy, called a flop. It was irate. Doug Christie got on the court and defended his team. It was like, no, that's not a flop. That's not a flop. And then Malik Monk passed it out, and Kevin Herter hit a three. And I don't know if you heard this on the mic. If Draymond hits a three, he goes, boom, boom. Well, Kevin Herter hit a three, and he went, boom. Malik Monk was like, boom, giving it right back to Draymond Green. And then you got the Zach Edey thing, which is just, I don't know.
I just thought it was so unnecessary.
It goes back. So you got to get Draymond back in order here. It's, I don't know what's going on right now, but he's 34 years old. He's lumbering up the floor. It does not look good right now. It does not look good right now. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. But I see things like this, Shasky.
What's that?
Where I just can't subscribe to it.
What's that?
The leash given to Steve Kerr is ridiculous. He might be the worst coach in the league.
I mean, come on.
That's just dumb. All right? That's just a dumb thing to text and a waste with your phone. But if you want Steve Kerr gone, he has another year left on his deal. And it's an anomaly for a coach to walk into a walk year and coach a team. Usually they want an extension. They want to get extended. I don't know what's going to happen with Steve Kerr. I don't know if Joe Lake, like, where's Joe Lake? Joe Lake may not be pleased with this. You know what I'm saying?
He can't be thrilled.
Oh, hell no, he's not.
Thrilled.
Why do you guys think there is so much hate for Steve Kerr? Is it like a Steph fandom thing? Because this was hate getting in summertime. I get the Boston Celtics fans because Jason Tatum, they thought he was God's gift to the earth. He should have been in the starting lineup. Whatever. Like, that was a lot of like the Celtics Twitter. Yeah. But even towards like the end of like the final two games of the Olympics, he was getting crushed for some ungodly reason. Like, I don't get it. Why is he hated so much?
I don't know. That's a great question.
I think it depends on who you're talking to. So I think for the Steph stands, it's you're never doing enough for Steph, right? Whatever that means.
They want
I don't
more
even
pick and roll with Steph.
Yeah,
they want
I don't
uses.
Even know what that means. It's ridiculous. And then for me, I'll tell you mine. Like there are seminal moments, like Greg Popovich not having Tim Duncan on the floor, and they don't get that rebound. Like those are things, though. Those are like you talk to any great coach in any sport, they've got. If you win enough games, you'll have horrific losses that you look back on. 2016, you know, God love him, and he's your co-worker. But there was a situation with Festus, and he played. I thought the whole sequence was botched. The Anderson Varejao minutes were terrible. Like, okay, that's a one-off. It's a game. All right, I get it. But
And you don't have Andrew Bogut.
No doubt.
So you're searching for answers.
But, like, I had some specific X's and O's lineup beefs in a closeout game in the finals. That's different. My bigger thing for the last couple of years has been like, Steve, you got to play the young guys. If they're on your roster and they're going to be a part of your team moving forward, you have to be committed to playing them through the mistakes. Part of the development is it's not linear and it's not going to be always upward. You're going to have some forward, some back, some up, some down. There's going to be a little bit of everything. But it's your job to find out, does this guy need my arm wrapped around him? Do I need to kick him in the pants? Or do I need to not talk to him? And I think he's done a poor job connecting with some of the young players and empowering them to be their best. And that's the Jordan Poole thing. The most frustrating for me is that it felt like he did empower Jordan Poole. And it felt like he did reach heights that I never thought he could reach. And then, yeah, that second year wasn't as good after the Great Ascension. And they just gave up on it. And then the whole Jeremy Lamb and just all of that. It was just too much for me. And so, like, I look at Moses Moody and I'm like, if I ask Steve Kerr, what exactly have you been trying to accomplish with Moses Moody these last couple of years? I think his answer would be, I really don't know.
I don't even know, and that's the cold part about it. I don't even know if Moses Moody is a legit two guard. But
I agree with that.
I thought when DeAnthony Melton went down, and Moses Moody unfortunately had the knee injury, so he was out for a couple weeks, and that stunk. Because I thought it was a great opportunity for him. But I even thought with Schroeder coming aboard, I said, boy, just give him a crack. Give him a crack to start, and let's see what it looks like next to Steph. Now, he may not even be that great. He may not be. But the fact is, it's year number four, and I don't know. We don't know. Hell, Moses Moody probably doesn't know. So, 888-957-9570 is a number.
But
so
isn't it perplexing that they gave him an extra contract?
No, well, I understand why they do it, because it's a tradable asset. So you give him the extension for 3 years, $39 million, and you can staple that on to another player if you do make a trade. I understand it from that aspect, from the business standpoint of it.
But, like, see, to me, and I think this goes back to coach being in sync with your front office. Guys, it's the fourth year of having him on the roster, right. and it's a nagging issue where we can't get him off the bench and we can't, like, figure him out. Like, we either had to move him or we had to find a way to utilize him, and right. I feel like we don't. Now, here's the one thing that I get frustrated with. The 3 and 4 guard lineups at times are very frustrating. I will defend him on this. Finding the right combo to play opposite Steph has been tricky. You play Buddy Hield, you get no defense. You play GP2, you get no offense. They don't, again, I go back to the two guard. They don't have that legit plug-and-play two guard.
888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll play to Steve Kerr on the other side. As he was asked about TJD's nice game, you'll hear how spicy he got. We'll play more Steph Curry sound. 888-957-9570. If you're running the Warriors, Roasters, if you're running the Warriors, what is your move you're going to make? What is the move you're going to make? Is it trading a player? Is it firing a coach? Is it trading a superstar? What are you going to do if you had a move to make and you were running the Warriors? 888-957-9570 is the number. We got a break, Shasky, as the segment was sponsored by Safeway.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, JK, hope you're well. Can't wait to see you back on the floor. By the way, GP2, Brandon Podziemski, expected back on his road trip at some point. Play Detroit, Indiana, Toronto, and Minnesota. Download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game, at thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garland Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams like the Niners and Warriors, stations and radio shows like Steiny and Goo, Morning Roast. Catch amazing interviews you missed too, like when Steve Kerr joins Willard Diz. By the way, T.O., I think was he in for 2 hours? Hour and a half? Was it just one? Because he was in for a while. I mean, he was running material. He was really good with Willard Dibbs.
You asked a question before the break. Can you repeat it?
What did I ask? I asked, if you were running the Warriors, Roasters, if you had one move to make, what would that move be right now? Because you need multiple moves. If fans are thinking championship, you need multiple moves. But if you're thinking top six, maybe play eight, getting a crack at it, maybe it's a move or two. What is that move? It could be anything. It could be ownership change. Not going to happen. Could be a GM change. Not going to happen. Could be a coaching change. Could be a player change. Could be a trade. Could be a superstar. Could be blowing it up. What is the move right now what you're thinking on, what is it, January 8th, Inauguration Day in the city. Daniel Lurie gets to become mayor of San Francisco. He gets sworn in. What are you doing January 8th with this Warriors roster right now?
Okay. So I have a two-pronged approach. If I'm running the Warriors, self-awareness is the number one like rule to life for me. Warriors aren't winning no championships. Not anytime soon, right? And you're really not that compelling of a team for the consumer currently. If anything, the consumer's angry at you, right? And so I'm in the entertainment business, and I'm also in the business of trying to build this thing back up to where it can be. And I know I have a marquee type of a player. I go to that player and I say, all right, Steph, here's the deal. Everyone but JK is on the block, and we're just going to figure it out. And we're going to look for the best possible way to carve this thing out and recreate something completely new. We just need to start fresh. We really like JK. We think that he's a guy that can play really, really well into the future. We don't even know if he's here long term, but he's here for the next 2 years. Everything else is on the table. Does that sit well with you? And if it doesn't sit well with him, then I think you actually have to explore the unthinkable, which I know is a non-starter for the majority of people listening to me. But, you know, sometimes things are out of your control and your franchise best player tells you, I want out. Sometimes that happens.
What do you think his look Steph had yesterday when he walked to the bench? I hadn't seen that look in a long time. He looked around the arena, empty seats, fans walking out, no energy. And he tried his best to get the energy up in the third quarter. He was shot-making, but, again, he's first time in his career where he's had zero assists in back-to-back games. Crazy. What do you think he was thinking? What did you think of that expression? Because I'm seeing here, I'm staring me right in the face in the text line. 510. Trade Steph, let him get his fifth ring, rebuild. If Joe Montana can be traded, anyone can.
Well, I'm not sure that Steph is going to get a fifth ring depending on where he's traded to. Like, that's number one. But number two, like, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking. That's why I would have a heart-to-heart with him. I would sit him down, and I'd be like, look, like, where are we at with this one? Like, are you willing to go through this the right way? Because we tried to do Band-Aids, and we tried to, you know, get your stamp of approval on a lot of these different moves. And, you know, we understand that we had some loyalty to you guys, and we wanted to ride it out and let things play its course. You guys deserve to be knocked off. Like, that's one thing that I do believe in, like, Clay, Steph, and Dre deserve the opportunity to finally lose in the playoffs before you said goodbye to everybody.
Right. And they did that.
But I don't know. Today I have no clue how influential he was in siding with Draymond over a variety of things. And, you know, is that the bed that he helped make or is that the bed the organization chose? I don't know. Were they kind of in cahoots or they were kind of just nodding along with each other? That I don't know. But look, could you become the Bulls after Steph Curry? Yeah, you could. You could also become the San Francisco Giants, who let Barry Bonds retire and then won a World Series 3 years later. Or something in between. There's no guarantee either way. So you just got to make shrewd, smart decisions. And right now, this team is not a compelling watch for the players. It's not a compelling watch for the consumers. And you got to shake this thing up.
Let's go to... I wonder what Thomas Sonoma thinks. Thomas Sonoma, what are you doing if you had a move to make?
Hey, Vontae. Hey, Shasky. First of all, man, that game was horrendous last night. When you don't beat Miami with their number one player not playing and it's not even competitive, it's a problem.
Yep.
First thing I want to say, gentlemen, we should have gotten rid of Draymond Green last year. We should have kept Clay. Draymond Green is the problem. He only respects one person on this team is Kerr. These players are intimidated by him on his own team.
Yep.
I blame Kerr and Warriors for not putting any boundaries on this man. Okay? He runs wild. Now he's older. He's digressing. He's getting worse. We cannot keep this man on our team. We need to get rid of him. He is a cancer on this team right now. And until we get rid of him, that's why Clay left. That's why I believe Clay left, okay? That Draymond Green doesn't care anything about himself. And let me just say the one more thing, guys. His reputation with the NBA is horrendous because every time every time he's involved, he gets it. What does that say? We need to change. And if we don't change this year, nothing's going to change, man.
Yeah. It's a very interesting point. It's a very interesting point when it comes to Klay Thompson. I think we underrated, even at this stage of his career, the spacing he will provide for his staff, for his teammates. Even last year. Yeah, I know he stunk it up in the playing game, Klay Thompson, that is. But just from a basketball standpoint, basketball. Goes to the bench. We know the numbers. I don't need to recite them. But just the spacing on the team. Who provides more spacing in the half court? Draymond or Klay? Klay or Wiggins? Klay or whoever else? You need spacing in today's NBA. It is pace, three-point shooting, getting to the rack, creating as many open opportunities for your teammates as possible. You need those type of players on your team. And right now, the Warriors don't have enough of those type of players. They just don't.
And I might not see eye to eye on that one. I think it was time to move off of both Draymond and Klay. Not that Klay isn't more useful for this team, because I think there is a great argument, which you're laying out right now, that he is more useful. But I think the time was, because you needed to signify, like, no, we are changing. Like, this is changing. Yeah. We're not going the old way. And I think it's really hard for those younger players to ever carve out a role as the number two guy on the team alongside Steph when you have either one of those guys, you know, because of their resume and their status and their equity. They've earned that equity.
But think about what fits better. What would fit better? Steph, Klay, Kuminga? Steph, Draymond, and Kuminga. Now, that threesome's been playing well. With Draymond's playing the five, but the problem is Draymond Green's going to wear it out at the five. But when you think about the current iteration, and it could go back to the Jordan Poole deal, how would it look now with Steph, Poole, Klay, Kuminga? How would it look if it's Steph, Poole, Kuminga, Wiggins? On paper, doesn't it look better? Doesn't it sound better? You know, like maybe you're moving off the wrong one. But I'm not here to talk about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's in Dallas. They're going to be in the playoffs, playing deep into the playoffs. And we know how Klay Thompson feels. We saw the celebration he had at Chase Center in front of Joe Lacob. We all saw it. There's something there. There's something there that the way it ended was just not right. And you know how I feel about Klay. I didn't like to slander towards him. He's a legend. He's one of our legends. Low maintenance, whatever. But what do you do with this roster right now? That's the most important part. Forget Klay. Forget, what do you do with this current roster right now? Let's go to Jay in Oakland. Jay, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, needless to say, I am super concerned about Warriors. It's not looking good for Warriors land. And the reason I say that is because it's only one solution to this crisis, and there's really no clear path to that solution. But I say that because I think the one solution we have at our disposal is we have to get a superstar in here, in their prime, ASAP. We got to get them and it's two main reasons. One, we don't know how long Steph is going to play for, but he has, what, 2-3 years left on his contract?
Yep.
A superstar in their prime is not going to want to be a part of the Steph farewell tour. You know, they want to play with Steph when Steph is still good and they're competitive. You know, so if they wait too late to try to get a superstar in, no superstar, young superstar in the right mind is going to want to be a part of the Steph farewell tour. And the second reason they got to get a young superstar in their prime in ASAP is because when Steph is gone, what young superstar in their right mind is going to want to follow up with the Warriors dynasty? Like, they're going to have a hard time convincing a young superstar in their prime to come follow up with the Warriors did. So I think that's the main reason why we got to get someone in here. We got to get someone in here ASAP. And if that means wholesale changes, firing everybody and stuff, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, here's the cold truth. You may have to blow everything up if you want to get back to the mountaintop. I'm looking at the Western Conference right now, and it's so funny. 3 years ago, we were having these conversations about these teams. Oklahoma City's now 30-5. They've won 15 straight. Oh, the Rockets come out to play. Well, they made a run for the play-in last year, and they built off of that. They're second in the West right now.
The Rockets coming out to play.
They're second in the Western Conference. He got the Memphis Grizzlies, who I laughed at for many, many years. But you know what? I give the Memphis Grizzlies credit. Because watching them this year, I think last year was humbling for them. They won 56 of 51 games. Ja did what he did, got suspended for the first 25, then got hurt, and it was a complete disaster. But they moved off to Dylan Brooks, and they got rid of the circus acts. And they said, we're going to play good basketball. And right now, Memphis is leading the league in points per game. They're running up and down. It ain't no grindhouse in Memphis. They're playing good basketball, inside out, outside in. They're deep. Their player development has been great, Memphis. Great, Memphis. They're third. They're young. They're not going anywhere. Denver still has Jokic. And as long as you have Jokic, who's one of the better players in the league, you're going to have a shot. Dallas has Luka, right? And if he can stay healthy alongside Kyrie, they're going to have a shot.
Can I just...
And then San Antonio's coming, too.
Okay. But, like, what he said is, like, the most obvious statement. Boy, the Warriors need a second superstar. Where are you getting this?
In their prime, he said, too.
Yeah, no, okay. You're not getting that right
but
now.
But, no, but that's the delusion. I know, but that's, I think, part of what's frustrating is that it happened with Kevin Durant. And, boy, those stars aligned. And it was perfect. You had a slot.
Yep.
He was a free agent. You had the best team. He wanted to come here. It all worked out. It is almost impossible to tell someone, hey, you're a superstar in your prime. Team X, here's Draymond, here's Andrew Wiggins, here's some picks. Make this deal. Like, they don't want those guys.
No, it doesn't, and it doesn't work like that. It does not work like that in the league. You can't just sit here and say, you can't. This is why my problem with the conversation. And this has been happening for years, and I get it. And as I've educated myself more and more and more, trying to learn about the game, learn about the inner workings of organizations and teams and how they operate, you can't just say, well, I want this guy off my team. Let's use Draymond for this exercise. Ah, yeah, let's get rid of Draymond. You think you're getting a second superstar from Draymond Green, number one?
Well, he's only making $25
million. Well, you're only making $25, but also, wait, if you don't want him and you think he sucks, what do you think these other organizations think who actually do this for a living? Like, we're not smarter than these guys. Now, some of these GMs are a little over their head. I get all that. And some of them make bad moves. But you get my point. You're not just going to trade somebody. We do this with the Niners all the time. We do this with the Giants all the time. Let's trade this guy and go get a big-time bat. Well, if this guy can't crack the Giants lineup, what the hell makes you think you're going to get an all-star for this guy? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Trades are hard.
But the other sports are a little different because there are financially driven deals because the caps are just different. The NBA, making a trade is the hardest league of them all.
Well, the new CBA now has really complicated things.
Right? So, like, I think that's my biggest frustration is sifting through the lies that I see from people. You could have had this guy. You could have had that guy. You could have had that guy. And if you would have traded those draft picks don't have monetary value until they're executed. Nope. Once they're executed, Kuminga's salary has never been over like $8 or $9 million.
Nope.
Okay. So just Kuminga is not getting you. I'm just in this hypothetical. Giannis makes $55 million. Okay. You need a staple. Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green to that deal. And for the longest time, Warrior fans were like, no, Draymond Green is untouchable. He has to stay. All right. Well, now you're making it even more complicated to execute a trade. I think balancing out the salaries is the biggest misnomer on the internet regarding these trades, these mythical trades that your favorite content creator or podcaster is literally pulling out of their butt.
I'm not going to riff them because some guys are educated. They know what they're doing and whatnot, but the key is, do you want to break this up? One of the big three members is in Dallas, Klay Thompson. Steph and Dre are left. Kuminga's hurt. Dennis Schroeder, I mean, he's a free agent. He may be gone in a couple of weeks. Who the hell knows? And he's not playing. And look, and this is we had the conversation about Schroeder and the fit. I was just like, the ball sticks in his hands too much. And I can't blame him. He's played a certain style for so long that ask a guy to come in and say, hey, we need you to play, read, and react and move the basketball, play .5 basketball, although Steve Kerr did say he's going to tweak his system a bit for Schroeder. It's just not working because you don't have the personnel for that style. Okay. You've played one style for so long, and you got your personnel to play one style. You bring in Schroeder, who plays a completely different style. It's a struggle right now for Schroeder, and he's trying his – and I feel bad for him because his family just got back here. He was missing his family for a few weeks, but he doesn't know what the hell the future holds for him.
The Schroeder move, it reminds me so much of when the Giants would acquire like a Steve Finley or a Michael Tucker or Ryan Klesko.
You know, Garko.
Like a guy. Well, Garko didn't really kill the Giants, but you get what I'm saying. These guys that were Giant killers, and then you get them, and they're super old, and they do nothing for you.
Yeah.
You know, like Ryan Klesko, remember Michael Tucker? Like they had the one fight in the Dodger.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but like Steve Finley, these guys, you wanted them forever because they just destroyed you, and then you acquire them, and they're just not good.
No, it's rough. It's rough right now for Schroeder. It is rough. Now, also,
I still like him.
Also, I just don't know if it fits.
No, that's a different question.
I like the guy too.
I like the player though.
Yeah, it's I don't know if it fits, but he's a ball dominant point guard. A ball dominant point guard who's going to hold it.
Undersized.
So my thing is too, and I'm with the 510 here, and I was talking to Spadoni about this during a break. When you get old in the NBA, it looks like this. We've seen it all our lives in the NBA. I saw it with the Houston Rockets. What do you? I thought the Rockets, oh, man, they're going to be a compete. And they got swept by the Seattle Supersonics. So I was like, whoa. Drexler looked old. Hakeem looked old. I was like, damn. Is that it for the Rockets? They made a Western Conference final. They lost to Utah. That was that. We saw the Lakers get old. Kobe didn't make the playoffs what, his last 6 years?
Kobe's last playoff game was at 33 years old.
Yeah. I mean, they got old in front of our eyes in that second round series against the Mavericks, so they got swept. That was it. That was Phil Jackson's last game, and the lasting image was Andrew Bynum clotheslining J.J. Barea.
Kobe's last 5 years, he didn't make the playoffs,
right? He was 33.
Last 5 years.
He was 33. Let me think about KG.
They made the playoffs, but he tore his Achilles, and they lost the first round series.
And Boston got old overnight.
Yeah, KG had the knee injury. He was never the same. They could trade him to Brooklyn. The rest is history.
So we're looking
at these teams. The Lakers, they lost to the Mavericks by 20, and Dallas didn't have Luka or Kyrie. And they had LeBron and AD playing.
LeBron actually had a sick left-handed dunk.
Yeah,
it was pretty sick.
Okay, they lost by 20.
I know.
TJD had a poster yesterday. The Warriors got beat by 16.
Well, I mean, great. But he's not.
Steph Curry
TJD is not LeBron James.
Steph Curry had 2 4-point plays against the Sacramento LeBron's Kings. They lost 40. By 30.
I'm just saying it was a sick dunk for a 40-year-old.
But they're old. My point is they're old. Phoenix, they're struggling right now.
Old.
Why?
Phoenix.
They've got old assets.
I opened up the app this morning, and Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called, and Bradley Beal's agent is telling Brian Windhorst, nope, we are not waiving our no trade clause. We are not helping you out get Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Do you guys think of Steph, KD, and LeBron, basically the...
the Avengers.
Yeah, from like the summer two. Do you think if they got together right now, they would still be a favorite in the Western Conference?
No, I think they're a 4 or 5 seed.
That's the reality.
That's the reality.
That's crazy.
By the way, sign me up for that. I'll do that in a heartbeat. All those people. So all these mythical trades that we're talking about right now, what? Why are you worried?
I'm over the retirement tour. I don't like that would entertain you for a little bit. And you're like, damn, they can't win a game.
And then LeBron and KD are out with calf strains. That's the reality of the old players.
What, for those 17 games, be so awesome.
Let's go to...
LeBron has way more left in the tank than CP3 did just last year. What are we doing? Stop. I'm sorry. LeBron's still good. I'm not saying
he's not good, but they lost by 20 yesterday.
No doubt, but that Mavericks team's not good.
They're 20-16. Like, LeBron is getting cooked on defense.
That's the thing. Like, the defense. Like, offensively, he's still great, but he can't do anything on defense.
Right, you can't get a stop to save his life.
And when you have Austin Reeves and Dalton Connect, and you're relying on them defensively and a young Max Christie, it's just not going to be...
At the point of attack, they're penetrating and kicking, so I'm not disrespecting LeBron, but LeBron hasn't come close to a championship the last few years.
Well, I mean, he went to the Western Conference Finals the year
they got smoked.
Yeah, no doubt, but
smoked.
They did beat us.
They got smoked, all right? They got smoked by Denver. Let's go to Jonathan.
This is a shame. It's embarrassing, really.
Jonathan, what's happening?
God, we didn't trade for Bradley Beal.
Boy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, before I wave the white flag on Steph and Dre, I would like to see him bring in Nikola Vucevic, man. What happened to that talk, man?
He's still out there.
In my eyes right now, you just need another consistent guy who's going to give you the points, because right now you got Steph, and it's too bad that Kuminga got hurt because he's beginning to be a consistent guy. You know, he's putting up 15, 20, 18 points a game with 8 rebounds to go with that. So let's bring in Nikola Vucevic, man. He brings that 20 points a game, 10 rebounds. That's going to help them a lot, because right now you got Steph and a bunch of streakers, man. Buddy Hield, Moody, they're also streaky, especially Wiggins, bro. That guy's a werewolf. I mean, the monster in him only comes out every full moon. I don't get it. He should be the guy who's picking up the slack without Kuminga, but, you know, he's just that dude, you know? So I would like to see maybe, if bring in Nikolai Vucevic, man. Let's see how that looks. If that doesn't work, then, yeah, it's over.
Jonathan, I just want to say that might have been one of my favorite calls of all time. You called Andrew Wiggins the werewolf who only comes out with a full moon. It was hilarious. I mean, we can laugh a little. That was a funny line.
Yeah, I mean, what else can we call him? I mean, dude, you know, not a butterfly. He's a werewolf, man.
When you coming back to the gatehouse, Jonathan?
What? Oh, yeah, bro. I'll see you before this is over.
Right.
I'm going to step another visit. You see the legend again before he hangs it up.
I love you, Jonathan. I miss you, buddy.
He came by a couple weeks ago. Jonathan's great. He's great. He actually offered me a ride to one of the summits, man.
Oh, yeah?
He would have gave me all the takes in the world. Let's go to Vacaville. You only know we go to Vacaville for one reason and one reason only. To talk to Javier.
Oh, what's up, Javier? Long time no hear.
Mr. Shasky, Mr. Hill, I feel like the Warriors, you know, are in a place of no return if they stay stagnant, obviously. But I don't understand why we don't have this reconciliation of, I think Jimmy Butler would do wonders on this team. You're not going to get no prime star that you can acquire with what you have. But you said you put bandages on this wound. Well, hey, you're going to have to give a little, Bubba, to get. And I feel like if you called Miami and said, we'll give you Anderson, Hield, Wiggins, the werewolf, that was a great call, and I'm going to give you Kuminga, and I'm going to take back Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson. And you're like, oh, no, I'm not doing. Well, then you're going to have to realize this team with Kuminga and you're playing the waiting game, you're not going to where the Warriors aspire to go, because if you want to get a Steph, Pods, Jimmy Butler with – your four would be Draymond, obviously, and TJD, and your back five would be Schroeder, Gary Payton, Moses Moody. Your four would be, Filler and Kevon Looney. Oh, you also have Josh Richardson,
Javier.
Moody, and Kevon.
Javier, can I ask you something real quick? Let's spin this forward. Let's say if that trade happened. Let's just say hypothetically that trade happened. When the Warriors traded, you said Kuminga, Wiggins, Buddy Hield, and Anderson. Is that who you said?
Or Jimmy Butler and Josh Richardson.
Where does that place the Warriors? Huh? Where does that place the Warriors in your head if they made a move like that?
I think top six, because listen, the Kings, the Warriors are all in that 8 to 10, 12 range right now, right? That super season tour one, they have another star that has done it that'll put his foot in anybody's ass that's not doing what they're supposed to. But if it doesn't work, Monte. Mr. Hill, Mr. Shasky, he's a free agent. Then you go get a $50
million. No, he actually has a player option for $52 million.
He's going to decline it. And if he doesn't, then hey. But you can still trade him afterward or trade Draymond. But you got to at least kick the tires, because the Cam Johnsons and the Kyle Kuzmas and the Zach Levines and the Jeremy Grants, those are the guys that are going to put you over the pendulum to make the trade that's going to get you into prime to compete for the Western Conference Finals. If you get a Jimmy Butler, like I said, you put Dennis Schroeder as your primary backup point guard, because that's, you guys should have him play as your starting shooting guard is the problem, or point guard, whatever it may be. Put him, and he's the only one running the offense. He's the one who comes and spells Steph. And then you put Pods back in there with the Jimmy Butler and Draymond and TJD, and your back five is Dennis Schroeder, Gary Payton, Richardson, Moses Moody, and Kevon Looney. And if I'm lying, I'm flying. But Jimmy Butler is the guy. What other star is asking for a trade right now?
They're very limited. That is actually factual.
So you believe if they do get Jimmy Butler, they can make a run at the Western Conference Finals with this trade?
Do we have any better options?
I'm asking you, what does Jimmy Butler bring? He brings him to the Western Conference Finals, what you're saying?
Jimmy Butler is a D.A. Double G, a dog. And I know that he ain't going to put up with no sucking stuff. Shout out to my boy Jadavious Ward. He not putting up with no, oh, man, I'm scared of Draymond. Bro, Jimmy Butler would sock Draymond back in the face if he did something like that to him. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he not putting up with that. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being real. Draymond for respect nobody.
Hey, good call. Good call, Hoff. Oh, good call. Seriously, good call. Bonte, how long?
Don't lie to Hoff.
How long for Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green to play nice? How long? What do you think?
Well, they played it on TBSA together.
Great. How long? So, how long?
Maybe there's something there.
Jordan Poole won a championship with the team.
I mean, hey, I don't know. I don't know. Do you believe that's a Western Conference Finals team?
No.
They traded all those assets for Jimmy Butler?
No.
Yeah, that's where I was just trying to, you know.
Although he does get to the free throw line.
He gets to the free throw line.
On a team that really could use it.
Yeah, they can.
Real quick, guys, a guy that, you know, a lot of fans have been clamoring for, in 01, Mark Randy.
Double A, double G. Let's talk. Oh, my God.
Zion Williamson came back.
He did come
yesterday.
Back.
Yesterday. That's a name.
Bonte.
He did come back.
Younger, potential superstar.
You love Zion.
Sure.
He had a sick dunk.
I used to love Zion. He doesn't. My problem is, if we got to, like, monitor you and what you eat and the way you work out, you should want to. Like, Zion should want to be great.
What about Gilbert Brown?
Who?
We used to monitor his weight. Well, Shaq.
That's football.
I'm teasing.
That's football.
I'm teasing.
I'm talking basketball, man. Like, I want to laugh a little bit, but, you know, when you throw these proposals at me, I'm just like,
well, he brought him up. He did have a nice dunk last night.
No, not Zion. Zion's fine. I actually thought about Spinotti when he hit the dunk because we played the around the NBA. And I was like, oh, Spinotti.
You went all around the association?
Zion's going to be, I don't know. Does New Orleans want to move him?
I think they do. They said that, remember, the report was
him and Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking to move off of them. See, I look at that, and that's more likened to, like, the Andrew Wiggins, who was a flawed
Milo.
culture fit.
Exactly.
But let me ask you this, though. What is the Warriors culture right now? Because when Wiggins came to the culture, they're coming off the 2019
finals
run.
You want my honest opinion?
Yeah, what is the culture?
Zero tolerance. It's never anyone's fault who's won a championship here prior. And anybody who is not one of the select three, Curry, Draymond, it's on you. Like, I'm telling you, I think that's the outside impression.
I'm curious because it's a great point.
Y'all need to prove it.
I love getting a player who has talent, who has potential, and you bring them to a winning culture. But right now, the Warriors, they haven't won in 2 years.
I mean, that's a great point considering the one word we always use in the NBA with culture, it's heat, right? Heat culture.
Yeah.
That was a heat culture win yesterday.
Oh,
like 1,000%.
My guy Jonathan, he comes by the game. He's a Warrior and Heat fan, but he supports the Warriors, but diehard Miami Heat fan. He comes by the gay house every single night. And he actually, when I got in my car, he actually was calling Evan, and I could hear the wind blowing last night. I was like, is that Jonathan who I was just walking with? Well, he had he wears his Heat hat, is beat up. It looks like he's 20 years old. He's got his long sleeve. He's got his Heat t-shirt, championship t-shirt. Bonte, I know you got to get up early. Heat culture. He was fired up. Wow. And he was like, Heat culture. And, you know, Spinotti, explain to the people what I told you yesterday before I walked out. You asked me about the game.
Well, I was saying, hey, listen, Heat. Horrible loss, double overtime. They're going to be tired, right? Back end of a back-to-back. There's no way the Warriors can lose tonight. And Bonte said, oh, yeah, they can.
This is why the Warriors are historic.
Exactly. It's like Bonte's like, no, they can absolutely lose this game.
I text Zachy, our producer at NBC Sports Bay Area, who does a hell of a job. I go, I feel weird. I walked into the arena. The energy was down. There wasn't the big crowd at Thrive City to walk into the game. I said, I got a weird feeling about this. I have a weird feeling. Like, first of all, Sacramento's 90 minutes away. They probably had a police escort, drove down to San Francisco, sped down. They're fine. They're young. And they came out in that first quarter, we're down six, and I say, we got problems. We've got problems.
We've had problems for a couple years.
And that's why I say when you bring in Zion, the only thing with Zion that could be intriguing is you brought up entertainment. I think people would be entertained with something new, with something that looks like Zion, because he still has that effect on social media. So from an entertainment standpoint, bringing in the Zion Williamson could help. I think people would be intrigued to see what Zion. And when Stan Van Gundy was coaching down there, he had that stretch where he's playing a point forward. And he was dropping damn near triple doubles. And then we stopped seeing it because he couldn't stay on the floor. So Zion's intriguing. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Mike in Oakland. Mike, what's up?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, so I called in last week, and I was saying that I would trade Draymond for your boy in Miami, and Bonte, he killed me last week. So.
Jimmy Butler? Yeah, I know. I just don't think Jimmy Butler works. I don't know. Like, what is Jimmy Butler going to do for you? We're talking about becoming younger and more athletic. How old is Jimmy Butler? 35? He's 35 years old.
He's 35.
And my whole thing is, like, he's worn out his welcome in multiple stops.
I get that. I mean, and you're right about that. But
I think
that he contributes more to the team than Draymond does. But I got another proposal, right? And I think that what the Warriors need to do is reach out to a team who's about to win a championship, who has an asset that they don't need. And the team that comes to mind to me is OKC. I think Dunleavy needs to pick up the phone today, call OKC, and convince them that Draymond Green is the piece that they need to win a championship. OKC is on a roll. They've won 15 in a row.
I like this.
They're the second best team in the league, and they have an asset sitting on the bench, right, that we could use, and that's Chet Holmgren. And then we get younger. We got somebody who can space the floor. We get everything that we need.
I just don't think they're trading Chet. Would you agree to that? Look, now I will agree with him on this. I do believe OKC has decisions to make regarding who they're going to pay. That I agree with. Wow, Chet. I mean, honestly, B, I'm not mad at that at all. I don't think it would ever happen, though. I would love Chet. Could you imagine that?
I thought he was going to say Jalen Williams, like one of them. Like, but Chet, come on.
Well, the one off the bench, like, I don't know how much that helps you. I like both of them. Why is your hand in your fist?
I mean, come on, man. I mean, come on. OKC is 30-5. They've won 15 games in a row. They selected Chet number 2 overall. He's a future Hall of Famer if he stays healthy. And they're going to trade Chet for 34, 35-year-old Draymond Green.
When does that crack?
And I'm trying to be respectful here. I got people like the 510 saying that I'm mean and rude because I disagree with Javier's opinion about trading for Jimmy Butler. I asked him multiple questions. I want to get to the root of the exercise. Where's your brain? How's your brain processing this? And then Mike in Oakland, I love Mike in Oakland. But we're going to. Draymond for Chet, you think OKC is going to do that right now?
Well, just...
Like, just come on. Like, just, like, in all seriousness. Chet Holmgren, a future rising star.
They do have a decision to make, though. Like, I'm just... They gave heart and said, just hear me out. Hear me out. I know it sounds dumb, but I think OKC as a team that does have decisions looming after this year, financially, that is real. Hardenstein got paid. Caruso got paid. They've got some interesting decisions to make. That's all. So no. I don't think he's getting traded. Yeah. But I do think that team is an interesting team to monitor. I don't think it's that player.
In a couple years, maybe. They have a slew of picks. They have SGA. They will figure it out. It's just...
Like, there's only a few players you're even considering to trade for, like, Chet Holmgren if you're the Thunder. Like, yeah. It's a short list, considering the stock.
They may not need to make a trade. They're stacked. Stacked. That's why I put my hand in my face. It's like, Mike, I love you, Oakland, but you came up with that, man? If you said Draymond for, I don't know, name a player. I just.
Austin Reeves.
Maybe. Okay, maybe. I would have listened to that and tried to break that down. I would have tried to break that down. But we're like Draymond for Chet. You think like Sam Presti's going to do that? And they've got all these. And we're just talking about. Think about. Here's why I'm putting my hand in my face. Because we're talking about spacing. 3D guys, you can't have non-shooters on the floor. OKC has Lu Dort, who people consider a non-shooter, But Lou Dort is knocking down threes. Like, you watched the Boston game on Sunday, he hit three threes in the fourth quarter, and we know he could defend like crazy. The league is moving away from guys who don't want to shoot the three consistently, who don't want to take the open shot. The league is moving away from that. So why would OKC want to bring that in? Like, you know what I'm saying?
But I think his
from
bigger
a basketball
point is that,
sense.
Okay, but from my X's and O's, like looking at the profit, net loss, they're $27 million over the cap for next year, right? So that's before the extension kicks in for someone like Chet Holmgren, who has another club option for next year, and then he's set for a big-time pay increase. Their window to win is right now. I don't think that like their move is you know, to trade away Chet Holmgren this year, but I do think that down the line they have the Jalen Williams, yeah, you know, extensions. Isaiah Joe just got an extension. Like, so they're a team that I do think, Bonte, the two guys that they choose to keep, that's going to be interesting. Like, Hartenstein making $30 million on that team is, like, not looking great down the line.
Down the line, and they could move off of him, and they'll probably pay some tax. Who knows? I'm not in Oklahoma City to know what they're going to do with their finances, but I know they're in a great spot. They've won 15 in a row. They're 30-5. I mean, that's where I thought the call was setting up, and I was just like, this is why trade talk sometimes kind of kills me. Because it's like, all right, dude, we got to chill a little bit. We got to put down the weed and relax. OKC's not trading Chet Holmgren. Right?
No, that I agree with. But they are a team in the next, you know, 16 months, 18 months that I think they are going to make a deal for one of their other guys that they've paid.
Maybe. It's a possibility. All right, what time is it? We're going to get the Mystic of the City, BPA, Jane, and Fremont. Matt Lively at 8:30? 8:30, correct? Matt Lively? 8:30. We'll talk Niners at 8:30 and talk about Nick Sorensen. We'll continue on to go to St. Warriors here. Any move you want to make out there and just take off the team.
So I want to put Robert Sala on the Warrior bench. And then Mike Brown on the Niners bench.
957.
Let's do that.
9570 is the number, man. Injury report time.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, JK, we know is out for the next couple weeks with an ankle sprain. The Doves did receive some good news yesterday on the injury front when it came to Steve Kerr telling reporters that both Brandon Podziemski and Gary Payton II will travel with the team on their upcoming road trip. Pods has been dealing with a right abdominal injury while GP2 is coming back from a right calf strain. Both are potential for a return to play. So that is good news for the Warriors. They're getting healthier. Get Pods back as a ball handler. And GP2 a defensive specialist as well. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Girls in Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. All right, on deck. We got some heavy hitters on the line. 888-957-9570. People coming in with a solution for the Dubs. What is your solution for the Dubs right now, who have lost their last two games by a combined 46 points? Not good right now, folks. Not good right now. What should they do? What do they need to do? Is there a move out there for them to make? That's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.